Sometimes life throws challenges your way. Loss, fear, uncertainty. Do you ever find it hard to believe that God still loves you? The Apostle Paul tackles a key question. Can any hardship separate us from the love of Christ? Today, you'll discover a truth that offers unshakable comfort and security in the midst of life's storms. Keep listening as Stephen Davey dives into Romans 8 in a lesson called Jesus Loves Me, This I Know.
You probably know the lyrics to this children's chorus. It goes like this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Well, let me tell you, beloved, there isn't anything more soothing, more reassuring, more powerful than this little simple reminder of God's unfailing love through Jesus Christ. Several years ago, I read about a true wartime use of this little chorus. A Korean American enlisted during the Korean War as a chaplain. And since this young man knew the Korean language, he was assigned to a compound where North Korean prisoners of war were being held. He really didn't know where to begin with these soldiers who'd been raised as atheists in their communist country. Well, the Lord prompted him to do something rather unusual. When he arrived, he entered the first holding area and spoke to the men in their own language, and they immediately crowded around to hear what this Korean American had to say. But he simply began teaching them how to sing this little chorus, Jesus loves me, this I know. Then he taught them what each of the words meant. He would go from one holding area to another, repeating the same method, teaching the same little song. Well, over the course of the next few months, several thousand soldiers placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And after the war, you can imagine, they were released back into their home country. I think, beloved, it's going to be interesting one day to see the spiritual harvest in heaven from the testimonies of all those North Korean soldiers who came to faith in Christ. Well, this little song happens to paraphrase the truth we were about to hear in the closing verses of Romans chapter 8. Paul seems to anticipate somebody asking the question, well, you know, aren't there some things that might separate us from the love of God, things that might indicate that Jesus really doesn't love us after all? Well, to answer that, Paul begins to list some very important things here in verse 35 that can't separate us from the Lord's love, like, he writes, tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger, or sword. But what are we to make of a list like this? Well, believers are going to face hardship and suffering. I think of those North Korean soldiers going back to a nation where being a Christian invited a death sentence. In fact, Paul even says here in verse 36, for God's sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Well, wouldn't martyrdom indicate that God doesn't love us? After all, he couldn't protect us from the sword. Well, this verse actually gives a prophetic description of the persecution of the nation Israel, as well as the persecution of believers in every generation. In fact, verse 36 is a quote from Psalm 44, and that's a prediction of persecution for those who follow God in every generation. I believe Paul can sense persecution coming for the early church. Christians are going to eventually be crucified, beheaded, burned to death, drowned. Some will be covered with tar and then lit on fire as the Emperor Nero throws another outdoor party. I mean, you'd think that Jesus must not love his church all that much. So what Paul does here is answer this question by focusing our perspective on eternity. We need to take a wider, longer view at who wins this war. Paul writes here in verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. The Greek term is huperneka'o. It's a compound word that combines Nike, which means victory, and hyper, or huper, which means above and beyond. We use the word hyper all the time, especially in reference to our children. Well, the Latin translates this compound word super victorious. So Christians aren't just victorious in the mind of Paul. They are super victorious. So Paul is telling us that no matter what our circumstances on earth look like, we are more than victorious, hyper-victorious, because, here's the point, we are never separated from the love of Christ. Now, here in verses 38 and 39, Paul is adding 10 more things to the list that might give us some doubt as to whether or not Jesus loves us. First, he writes here that death will never separate us from the love of God. Now, for the Christian, death is simply the hand that opens the door of heaven. Paul adds here that neither death nor life can separate us from Christ's love. Let me tell you, death might be fearful, but life is dangerous. Jesus said, "I am with you always to the end of the age," Matthew 28:20. That means you will never face any danger in life alone. Jesus is with you always. Next, Paul says that you can't be separated from the love of Christ by angels. Now, the world Paul lived in was filled with superstitions about angels. In fact, rabbis were teaching the people that everything in the physical world, even a blade of grass, had an angel associated with it. They were effectively under every bush, every blade of grass, every leaf on every tree. The rabbis were also teaching that angels were a little jealous that God had created mankind and they were commanded to serve mankind. Well, Paul is assuring the believer that angels are powerless apart from the hand of God, and no angel can interfere with God's love for us. Next, Paul mentions here, rulers can't separate us. This is a word often used for the demonic world. I think Paul is saying here, even the devil and his demons, rulers of the kingdom of darkness, cannot separate the believer from the love of Christ. Now Paul adds to the list these words, nor things present nor things to come can separate you from Christ's love. There's nothing in your present life. There's nothing somewhere out there in your future life that can erase your security as a beloved child of God. And that includes some kind of artificial intelligence that people fear might rule the world one day. Well, nothing in the future can separate you from the love of Christ who reigns over all things. Paul adds here at the end of verse 38, the phrase, nor powers. Powers is from dunamis, the same word in Acts chapter 8 and verse 10, used to describe Simon the magician. He was known to have occultic dynamic, dunamis, power. So Paul is saying that not only does the demonic world not have power to separate you from Christ, but neither do demonically empowered people. They can't somehow curse you or put a hex on you or bind you so that Christ can no longer guide your life. Well, now Paul adds to the list here in verse 39 that the believer cannot be separated from the love of Christ by height nor depth. The words height and depth are actually astrological terms popular in Paul's day and to this day, relating to the height that is the zenith of a star and the depth or the lowest point of a star. Paul's world believed that stars had power over the future, the destiny of people. And by the way, millions of people today believe the very same thing. They know the astrological sign when they were born. They read the horoscopes daily to make decisions about hundreds of things in life. In other words, what Paul is saying is that the height and depth of stars and planets that supposedly have power and influence over what people might encounter in life, it has absolutely no effect, no power. Paul says that isn't true. The stars can't hurt you. They don't have power over you. You don't need to pray to them or talk to them. You didn't come from them. They can't influence you. They don't determine your destiny. The stars are no match for the Savior, who, by the way, created them. Now, Paul adds one final item to his list here when he writes, nor anything else in all creation. I love that. He's saying, in other words, just in case I left something out, I'm going to add this one last phrase here that covers everything in all of creation. Beloved, you are eternally secure because God the Son, who created everything, came to die on a cross for everything about you. And since he knew everything about you and the world you live in today, nothing will surprise him. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. So here's what I recommend. Let's sing this today. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Today you've learned that nothing, no hardship, no power, not even the stars themselves, can separate you from the love of God in Christ. So, when doubts arise, cling to this truth. Jesus loves you, and his love is stronger than any challenge you may face. If you're struggling to feel loved, I encourage you to visit wisdomonline.org for biblical encouragement and resources. We have an extensive collection of Bible teaching that'll help you understand God's Word and God's love for you. Stephen has been teaching the Bible for 4 decades. During that time, he taught and preached hundreds of sermons and lessons. All of that content is posted there. You can listen to each one or read the manuscript of Stephen's teaching. That content is available free and on demand at wisdomonline.org. You can also sign up to receive resources from Stephen in your inbox. Do that today. Thanks for making this teaching series part of your daily life. Join us next time to continue traveling through God's Word on the wisdom journey.